Mindfulness of posture is one of the classic instructions for Buddha's teachings on mindfulness. And there's this famous text on the four foundations of mindfulness, and the second instructions have to do with posture, with being mindful of standing, walking, sitting, and lying down. It's called sometimes the four dignified postures. And the main reason I like to do this instructions on posture is so that you hopefully will help you avoid unnecessary physical discomfort. Sometimes sitting in some misaligned way can build up tension, stress in different parts of the body, that if the body was more aligned, it would be more comfortable. That's the main purpose for this. But there has a lot of other purposes as well that you don't want to get too caught up in, but that may be nice to know, that the posture can also support our awareness practice. There is a way of certain postures that we take call upon awareness, invite awareness to be there, an awareness that kind of lives in the body, comes out of the body. There are certain postures that encourage us to be present in the moment. There's other postures that encourage us to fall asleep or to be dull or kind of be tuned out of our body. And so to take a posture that evokes awareness, evokes attention. I love the images I've seen, photographs of toddlers who they're just wearing a diaper, so their upper part of the body has no clothes. And you see them from behind, and they're completely alert. They're upright, and they're looking at something. And you feel this beautiful back, the spine, the torso. You feel like the whole back is like delightfully attentive. There's no stress there in being upright, but they're just like alive with, yes, paying attention. And so there might be even subtle adjustments in posture that might kind of awaken a little bit more attentiveness. And some of that comes from the intention, sitting in an intentional way. If you sit like in a couch or something, or a bed full of pillows, and just the idea with being you're going to relax, meditation is about relaxing. And so you do this whole array of pillows and everything, so everything can be relaxed and just let go. It might be relaxing, but it doesn't awaken a kind of clear awareness necessarily, because the body is not in a posture that it has some intentionality to it. And the balance of an intentional posture that is engaged in sitting and a posture that allows you to relax is a wonderful balance. And each person is going to have to find that for themselves with all their physical conditions and mental conditions or heart conditions, everything that's going on for us. One of the co-guiding teacher of IRC is Andrea Fella, and she does most of her meditation lying down. And to get that sense of intentionality a little bit, she will have one hand up, the arm is 90 degrees, but with the hand pointing straight to the ceiling as she's laying there. And that requires some attention to keep it there, and some it evokes some kind of like attention, like, okay, this is where I'm going to keep me alert and present. And so to take a posture where you kind of want to be present for. If the body is screaming in pain, it's enforced attention in a way. But to find a way to sit that that even when things are painful, where you kind of want to be present for it, it's like inviting for that, or it's a good place to be. But the main reason is just to avoid unnecessary pains. So I'll talk a little bit about sitting in a chair and sitting on the floor, on the mat. And sitting in a chair is completely fine, a wonderful way of sitting. The lore of Buddhism is the next Buddha will be sitting in a chair. So if you're a chair person, who knows? Maybe you're the one. The advantage of sitting cross-legged is that you have a low center of gravity and you have this wide base of the knees spread out and this tripod, and it can feel very stable and secure, and it's a nice posture for helping to hold the spine upright. And it's one of the better ones for upright posture. And for sitting this way, I actually encourage you not to cross your legs. We say cross-legged, but I'd rather to sit one leg in front of the other. So they're not crossed. If they're crossed, you put a tremendous amount of torque on your knees and sometimes on the ankle as well. And it's a nice way of sitting if you're flexible enough. But if you're not, they can put it, especially on a retreat day, hour after hour, it puts a tremendous amount of strain on the knees and sometimes the hips to sit in any kind of way that's cross-legged with one leg up on the thigh of the other or something. So the lower legs cross. So I kind of recommend that you sit what's called, sometimes called tailor fashion, sometimes Burmese fashion in places I've known, one leg in front of the other. And then sometimes the knees then don't come down. It's nice to have the knees down so you have this tripod support. And one of the ways to help that happen is to have to sit higher. Within reason, the higher you sit, the easier it is to get the knees down. And so some people will get these support cushions we have, these square or these rectangles to build height. Some people will sit on tuzafus, the round cushions. And then it might be easier to sit, get the knees down. But if it's not, if the knees don't come down, a very nice thing to do then, an alternative is to take one, some support cushions and put them underneath your knee and support them. So they're not just dangling in the air. And then maybe slowly over time, you can lower it more and more slowly over until you're kind of not using one. To sit cross-legged, or sit this way, the thing that helps the most is to have open hips. So hip stretching exercises, yoga kick, is really helpful for sitting like this. And the looser we are in the hips, usually the lower it's good to sit. But the more tight we are, the higher you want to be kind of on the cushion. And then they're sitting this way is nice. There are other ways of sitting on the floor. And one is to use a bench like this. And this is kind of, you're sitting then on your knees, but you have your knees go underneath here. And you sit on here. And some people find this very comfortable, very nice to sit this way. And you don't have to worry about how open your hips are. And then an alternative to this is to take one of these, you get kind of the same posture, but you sit, you put one of these round cushions between your ankles and sit down on it like this. And if you feel like your toes are, or your top of your ankle or something are being flattened out too much or something, you can scoot back over the edge of the back of the mat so you get a little bit more normal angle back here. If you feel like you're too much weight on your knees, you can scoot out to the front and have your knees slightly over the edge or over the edge. And that can kind of sometimes make it easier for the knees. And uh, It's also nice if you're sitting a lot in one posture. It's sometimes good to alternate postures, or once or twice a day, to take another posture to give your body a break from always sitting in the same way. And so if you're sitting cross-legged, sitting this way for a sitting is a way of getting a break for your body, as is sitting in the chair. And so for the chair, the idea is to, let's see, it didn't work. So in the chair, the idea is to have your knees parallel to your hips or slightly lower than your hips. So for me, like my knees, it feels like they're a little bit higher than they should be. And so what happens then, it pushes the lower back out. But if the knees are slightly lower, then the lower back kind of has a little bit better curve in it, less pressure to go out. So if you're tall, then what you can do is get some of these support cushions and build up some height. If you are short, we have these wonderful, you see over there, there's one, someone's using it. We have these hard foam rectangles, and you can put them under your feet so that your feet have firm support. If you, so that your feet aren't dangling too much down. And then the classic instructions to more or less have your legs parallel to each other, and have both feet, the soles of the feet, firmly planted on the ground. There's some kind of support that has solidity that feels good to have that. It's like you wouldn't sit cross-legged like this, because if you sit cross-legged in some way, that is not as intentional. It's not as, the body is not as present and alert. This is kind of a more of a, you know, I'm here, attentive kind of posture, to have your feet firmly on the ground. Some people like to have their legs out wide, and somehow they feel more supported that way, and that's a fine thing to do. If you are sitting in a chair, and you're doing it mostly because of your hips and your legs, maybe you can try and experiment with not using the backrest and sitting away from it a little bit. And then you get some of the benefits of sitting cross-legged, where the body, the spine, is torso is holding itself up. And so there's, again, it's a little bit more intentionality, a little bit more engagement in the body's kind of, the torso is kind of calling on or inviting a little bit more attention to itself. That helps us to be in the present moment. If you, and so this is, if this is possible, if it's, you're sitting with in a chair because of the back, you know, any way that you want to sit is fine. That works for you. But one possibility is to lean forward like this and push your top of your kind of butt into the backrest really firmly, and then snake up with the head first, bring the shoulders and then the rest of the body. And if you do that, you'll get a firm support pressure against this lower part here of the back that kind of pushes the spine up or the torso up in a nice way. Kind of like you feel this strong strength and firmness that kind of lifts us up almost. So it's a very nice way of sitting. And that keeps the rest of the spine back kind of self-supporting. If you want to use the whole backrest, that's fine. These chairs lean backwards. The backrest lean back a little bit. And so if you would use them all the way like this, it's a little bit soporific, a little bit encourage you to maybe fall asleep or something. Some people will get these support cushions and put them behind their back so that it's a little bit more, the back is straight up and down rather than leaning backwards. And the difference is not that great, but in terms of the posture, but it might be a lot in terms of your attentiveness. If you have a nice thing to do as well, in terms of getting support for the back if you need it, is sometimes it's very nice to take something that you can coil up into a roll. So I'm going to try using this. And then put it down the back between the shoulder blades and then lean back. And that kind of brings up the chest, lets the shoulder blades kind of roll around that roll or coil. And kind of, it's a nice way of being upright and held upright and kind of frees up sometimes some of the tension that we carry in our shoulders. So that's a nice thing to do sometimes. So let me get back here. So whether you're sitting on a chair or on the floor, a nice thing to do is to help you kind of align the body, torso, is you take your hands on either side of your hips and lift yourself kind of like you're lifting yourself off the chair or off the cushion. If you go straight up, it tends to bring the chest out a little bit. And then as you release your hands, let your shoulders roll back a little bit. And then you might feel a little more open. You feel a little bit freer sometimes in the shoulders. Maybe a nice little alertness or strength in the upper spine between the shoulder blades. That could be nice. Partly because some people spend a lot of time on computers these days, kind of hunched over typing. And for other reasons, just people carry a lot of tension in their shoulders and the back of the shoulders. That tends to be reveal itself on retreat, sitting this way. And some people have to deal with a few days of the pain up here because of things beginning to release. And the releasing of tension and muscles sometimes involves with a lot of tension, muscles go numb. And as they wake up, they have to go through a phase where it hurts for a while. But one of the things you can do if there feels like really a lot of pain in the back here for the shoulder is you can do this windmill exercise. And that is, you bring one shoulder up close to your ear, and then keeping your shoulder up, you stretch out your hand far, straight ahead, and then lift it up towards the ceiling and do the big windmill around, turning the hand towards the ceiling, and then putting it onto your knee for a little bit. If you do that, probably that shoulder will feel more open and relaxed and pulled back slightly. That might be nice. So you do the other one, but first the shoulder has to go up. It's an important part of the exercise. And then stretching forward and then up and around, hands up to the ceiling. And then, so that could be nice for you. And if you want, you're welcome to, you know, a couple of times during a sitting, if you feel like you need that help, you're welcome to do it. We'd rather not have, you know, a room full of windmills all the time, but a little bit. Then the hands, you can do anything with them that is supportive of this whole process. And I've kind of changed where my hands go depending on the decade or something. And sometimes I spent, you know, a decade or two with my hands together in front of me in different ways. And then nowadays it tends to be on my thighs. It's whatever feels good. But here too, subtle adjustments can make a big difference in the alertness and the presence and all kinds of things. If you have your hands in front of you together or down on the ankle, sometimes it pulls the shoulders forward, even the spine bends a little bit more. And so you can get something to put underneath your hands to hold them up a little higher. And sometimes people do quite a bit to hold them up quite high, and it kind of helps keep the spine upright in a nice way. If you have your hands on your thighs, you want to make sure that if you have too far forward, it might also pull you forward. So maybe pull the hands back and see if that works better. So they say that the elbow should be right along the midline of the side of the rib cage here, between the front and back rib cage. And but even then, there's subtle adjustments that can be made where the hands go here. Sometimes if the hands, like once some fingers go a little bit over the edge of your knee or your thigh, then it might actually pull you up slightly. Whereas if you have it over on the back side of your thigh, kind of on the side, it might feel like more like sinking. So these little movements can make you, and probably for different bodies, they work differently. And then be a little bit careful with how your head is positioned. It's easy enough to have the head, the chin looking up, pointed up, or looking down a lot like this, or looking to the side, or tipping the head to the side like this. And if you suspect something like that is happening, then in the middle of the sitting, you can open your eyes and look straight ahead and see where you're looking. If you're looking at your ankle, then you're probably tipped too far forward. If you're looking at the ceiling, you're probably pointing up too much or to the side. And the idea is to have the head positioned on the head, so above the shoulders, so the ears kind of line up with the shoulders here. So if you're like this, ahead of the shoulders, the head is actually pretty heavy. And if it's not in the midline or center of gravity, the muscles have to work a lot to hold the head up there. And so in the course of a day, I get pretty tired holding the head up a lot if it's above the center line. But if you can keep it along the center line, it's a lot easier. One of the traps of giving this kind of instructions for being careful with posture is now having the idea there's a perfect posture out there, that if you just find it, you'll never be uncomfortable ever again in meditation. And if you just fidget enough, you'll find it. There is no such posture. That sitting with discomfort is part of meditation practice. But how much discomfort you sit with is, you know, your choice. And Diana said it very nicely, you're welcome to move. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be grueling. If you feel discouraged because you have a lot of pain, you don't have to kind of force yourself to sit through the pain. You can adjust, change your posture. You're welcome to stand at any time in the meditation hall here. And just try to do it quietly. Bringing your knees up like this, if you're sitting on the floor, is called the rest posture. If you feel like you need to do that, take a little break from the posture. And learning to work with discomfort is part of the deal, part of what we're doing. If you're only comfortable, if you're only free when you're comfortable, you're not really free. So learning how to be free and equanimous, non-reactive to pain is part of the training in the long term, the bigger picture of this Buddhist practice. And it's your choice. So one of the things some people will do is when they feel enough of discomfort that they want to move, they say, okay, well, let's do 1 minute more. And let me see what I can learn about being equanimous or my reactivity. Let me see what I can learn from this. After a minute, then you can move if you'd like. There's a couple of forms of pain that you want to be particularly careful for. If there is physical pain during the meditation and you get up from the meditation and the pain persists for 5 minutes or so after leaving the hall, then you're probably injuring yourself. Doesn't happen often, but it can happen. So you don't want to sit like that again. Generally, the pain that we have in meditation, by the time you get up and get to the door, it's already dissipated. You know, but if it's, as I said, if it continues for 5 minutes or so. The other thing that can happen is the legs can fall asleep. And generally, that's okay. It tends to happen a lot to people who are more new in meditation practice, retreat practice. it tends to wear off, after, you know, stop after a while. But after a while means maybe a few weeks or a few months of sitting. You want to be careful getting up. You don't want to get up too quickly because you can, you don't have support. You'll collapse and fall. Someone many years ago did that, that she broke one of the little bones in her foot because she fell too quickly, you know, fell. It couldn't hold. There was no sensations to hold her up. But so you can massage your foot and shake it out and just wait until the sensation comes back. If the sensation takes more than 3 or 4 minutes to come back, then the chances are it's not an issue of the blood circulation, but it's an issue of pinching the nerve. And you never want to pinch a nerve. So if it takes more than 3 minutes for the sensations to come back, then that's another circumstance where you should not sit that exact way again. You shouldn't have that kind of numbness again, because then you can injure yourself for a long time if you damage a nerve. It doesn't happen that often, but it does happen occasionally. Especially it happens when people feel like they have to tough it out with a pain. They're not supposed to move or something. So and if you feel really tired while you're meditating and here in the hall, that's an occasion also, if you want, to do standing meditation. Do standing meditation with your eyes open. And that's a way of kind of being a little more alert. Your whole body probably knows how far it is to fall. So it'll keep you alert, standing. And it's a time-honored way of practicing. So those are my thoughts about this. We have now 15 minutes before the next sitting here. Maybe some of you want to go and take care of what's next. But if some of you want to stay in the hall, Kodo and I will be here. And we can go up to you and answer any specific questions you might have. And we might also look at your posture if you ask us to. Because sometimes we don't necessarily understand what our posture is so well from the inside out, but someone who looks can see, oh, and especially people who've been doing it for a long time, might be able to make small suggestions to you that maybe you hadn't occurred to you to do. So to those of you who want to go, you're welcome to go. And those of you who'd like to have us come and check your posture or ask a question, we'll come around to you. Thank you.